He was so upset that his mom even took me aside and asked me not to mention my ATAR to his grandma, as it makes him feel inferior.
I either have them completely remove me, I won't hear from them, or on a few occasions I've actually had them flat out say that they are intimidated.
That's giving incel. That is, right there.
Yeah.
I think when they come across like a partner who's like more successful than them, then they're like, oh, well then what do I have to offer?
You have realized that men are attracted to the idea of your success, but then in the actual day-to-day reality of it, isn't what the guy wants. Hi, I'm Dee Selvin, and I have successfully been UTI free for about a year and a half until now.
Oh, 0 days since incident.
0 days.
0 days.
Since incident. I had a really good run. I got back my urine sample positive.
Yeah.
I'm that bitch. It actually felt good to have a positive test for once. So I'm on the Annie B's. Validating. And we're going through the wars, aren't we, Pip?
Yeah, I'd say hi, I'm Pip Rasmussen. I'm successful at like rarely getting sick. It's probably been about 6 months. And then today, boom, in the actual wars. If you're watching this, I'm wearing a mask. It's like very COVID throwback.
It's very COVID throwback.
The door's even open to the studio.
We sprayed around.
The videographers have left the room. Like, I feel like patient zero. I feel really bad. I'm really scared of getting people sick. You know Taylor Lorenz, actually?
Yeah, yeah.
She wears a mask in all of her podcasts because she's very pro-mask.
Oh.
I actually feel like her now.
I actually agree. I'm like, bring the mask back, because I was on a plane last night. This is why we are doing this podcast with Pip sick, because I'm still jet setting around Australia. Book tours.
She's touring.
I was in Brisbane, Gold Coast. I have a window today of 6 hours to record this podcast, and I go to Perth. So it is the only moment we have. But even last night on the plane, I was like, there's a guy coughing next to me. Out in the open. I couldn't believe it.
They need to hand out masks again on planes.
Masks should be, bring back masks.
No, literally.
Bring back, Pip is starting a trend.
I'm bringing it back.
Well, let's get into a non-sick related article. Okay, let's get into the episode and stop talking about being sick. This episode is inspired by an article that Pip and I came across recently. The headline, it's by The Guardian, and the headline said, single women are buying more houses. The men they are dating are not responding well.
This is interesting because maybe a couple of years ago now, we sort of covered this angle of success and dating, and we had spoken to somebody who on their dating profile had her job, which was
aerospace engineer.
Yeah, I was like, something to do with yeah, astronaut.
Caroline, aerospace engineer.
Yeah.
And she basically realized when she took her job off of her profile, she would get way more matches.
Yeah. So when we saw this article came up, we were like, oh, we should come back to this and see what the vibe is now, because that was a couple of years ago, and just see if people were still relating.
There's a real disconnect happening in heterosexual dating where women are becoming way more independent. We know that their education rates are higher than men. We know career-wise, buying houses. So according to the National Association of Realtors, 2025 profile of home buyers and sellers, single women now make up 25% of US first-time home buyers, more than twice the percentage of single men, which is at 10%.
Wow.
And a really alarming stat as well in the article, Pip, a growing body of data shows that men engage in higher rates of infidelity and emotional and physical abuse when outpaced by female partners in traditional markers of wealth and status such as income.
This is kind of why we wanted to unpack this. And in this episode, we are going to kind of do the gender of it all, but we wanted to open it up to everybody. So like our queer and poly friends, hetero, homosexual, wherever you're at, and sort of how you're finding dating and relationships when it comes to success. Is this something that is holding you back? Is this something that has been a roadblock for you or caused tension or friction in your relationships?
Yeah. How do you handle if in dating someone is like wildly more quote unquote successful than you? Does it make you feel intimidated, jealous? Do you feel like the relationship's doomed? Are you maybe in a relationship at the moment and maybe someone all of a sudden is doing really well? And we want to open up the definition of success as well. You know, maybe it is a property. It's going to be a huge part that we'll talk about. Maybe it's you've built a great career. Maybe you're highly educated or well-traveled or, you know, wealthy and ambitious. Or maybe you're just genuinely thriving at life. You know, success, we need to acknowledge, looks different for everyone. But sometimes it can really impact dating and relationships when people see you doing really well and it kind of impacts the way that they feel about themselves or the dynamic that's happening between you both.
I'm keen. Let's get into it. Dee, have you ever had experiences where you've dated someone and you've been quote unquote more successful than them And what has that ever happened to you?
Oh.
Has anyone been pissed off by that?
I don't know. It's hard because, as you know, I've been single until recently for like 7 years and I wasn't successful when I first started dating. Like I was, you know, in my, it, like I guess quote unquote successful, but I was just like a student. I was like just out of high school. I was like, you know.
Yeah, but you doing like radio and Bunbury and having massive
Yeah, but
roles.
I didn't have boyfriends then. So this is what I mean. Like when I first, when I first started dating, like, and I had actual boyfriends, I was like a student.
But even casual dating though.
Casual dating. Yeah. I mean, casual dating, it's hard to know because nothing ever really went further than a couple of dates. And then I obviously had that big period of being boy sober.
Yeah.
But I would say that I definitely recognize that some people were a bit like, ooh, if I said what my job was. I think the biggest thing, and we've both spoken about this before, is when I've said that it's the hookup and it's about dating, sex and relationships, I feel like it's not really about the success of my career. It's more about the intimidation of the topics that we talk about.
Yeah.
I think they get really intimidated by the fact that, I don't know, I've had guys think that I'm like a pro at sex or something.
Yeah.
And they get intimidated by that, or they get intimidated by the fact that like you and I don't really shy away from hard convos.
Yep.
And we're really curious about, you know, sex and relationships and we know so much. So I think like in that sense, I would say we're successful with like our careers, but also what we know. I feel like we're really skilled in... We are just so informed, and I think that can be intimidating.
Yeah.
Have you had anyone be intimidated by like your success, financial or?
I don't know. Weirdly, no. I feel like a lot of people have really enjoyed my success, which has been really lovely, and maybe they even benefit off it a little bit. And you know what I mean?
They're like, "Mom's taking me out."
Yes, literally. Like I always used to make jokes, be like, "Put it on mommy's plastic." Like, like I don't know. I've been really lucky in that sense, but I know that from our DMs and from voice memos, like we had. So many people get in touch. Even producer Camille, who you may or may not know about, but, you know, she sometimes helps us out on the show. She actually was like, this is my dating life. Like, she's like, a lot of people I've dated have been really intimidated by my success.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. We put it up on our Instagram and asked you, have you ever felt like someone was intimidated by your success when dating? 64% of you said yes. So in this episode, I reckon let's break it up. Let's go through dating and some of the things that people have been intimidated by when it comes to your quote unquote success. And then let's talk about relationships and unpack that. And then, yeah, we'll hear from some of you about why you might have felt really intimidated or jealous or whatever it was about someone else's success.
Mm.
So one of the definitions of success, let's talk about lifestyle or different life phases. This was something that we heard a lot from you, and Phil experienced this recently in his dating life.
I started hanging out with him and chatting with him, getting to know him a bit more. He's lived in many different parts of the world. He now lives in a really nice house near the city. He's got a good income and he goes on months-long overseas trips every year. We're talking 3-4 months overseas. So there's a lot about him that I find attractive. Contrast that with myself, however, I'm still working in retail and I'm still living with my family because I'm saving up to buy my own place. And even though I'm 28 years old now, I've never been overseas before at all. So when I look at this guy, I'm not jealous of his success at all. I'm really happy for him that he's done well for himself. But I feel like he's out of my league. I feel like I've got nothing to match with his success. That's kind of what's let me down and why I've not pursued him, if that makes sense. It's not that I'm jealous of him. It's that I feel like I'm not good enough for him because I don't have the same level of success that he does.
It does make a lot of sense. I think a lot of people said that kind of similar. I feel like they're out of my league. And sometimes people even told us where they were like, what am I even going to talk to them about? Like if I'm working in retail or hospo and they're like corporate. Do you know what I mean?
I find it really interesting though, because like, I find it really interesting because like a lot of people just assume that the other person might think or feel that you're beneath them. Like it's like even hearing Phil, it's almost like he's projecting onto this guy that he really likes being like, oh no, I'm way beneath him. He's out of my league. He wouldn't be interested in someone like me. Mm. And it reminds me of that study where it kind of concluded that people usually only, depending on what you think you are, right? Like if you think you're a six, people usually only go for other sixes or just like a point above or below. And this is pretty consistent with decades of sociology research where basically people partner with others who are similar in education, class, background, values, religion, attractiveness, and increasingly lifestyle.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that Jerry Karansis has told us, who's one of our experts, when we go to when we're like... Is this true about love? And like, how do people, find attractiveness and desire, all of that?
Really fascinating because, like I said, so much of it is without even having the convo, right? Like you, it's like if you've dated people who maybe aren't as successful as you, but you're just like, I love this dynamic. It works for me.
Yeah.
Imagine just like breaking up with them, just assuming that,
you
know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems like a really, silly thing to break up over. But yeah, people do. If anyone was intimidated by my success, they never really said anything. Which is great because I feel like that's like, you know, they felt secure in themselves, which
exactly.
is good.
Exactly. We also got this voice memo from Kate talking about her experience.
I went on 5 dates with this guy at the end of last year and it became apparent quite quickly that we were in different life phases. I am a young professional. I love what I do. I have a lovely home life and I'm pretty steady Eddie. He, on the other hand, had a fair bit of changeability going on in his life. He was questioning his career and he had a lot of stuff that he was wanting to work on with himself. And on our last date, he point blank asked me, oh, so I've told you all this stuff about me. What are your flaws? I was like, I ain't got none. No, I didn't say that. But it really highlighted to me that he was feeling insecure about where he was at in life versus where I'm at and was trying to actively find something wrong with me to make him feel better about himself and to try and level the playing field.
Yeah, no, see, this is what I mean. I'm like, I guess I've been lucky in dating people who have not been insecure like that, but that's so bad being on a date and being like, so what's your flaws?
Yeah, like... Oof. Or trying to bring someone down to your level.
Yeah. We got this DM from Vince as well saying, in my late 20s, I dated a wonderful woman, but my insecurities got the better of me. Her and her friends were all private school educated and working and corporate, and I was back from a very long backpacking gap year. I found it really hard to relate. This is something that a lot of you related to. And on that note, let's talk about education, I guess. There were a lot of people who said, in particular women, I guess, were saying like they were more highly educated than their partners, often male partners. And it definitely did bring up some tension for them. So we got a voice memo where she had a guy mansplain her PhD to her.
God.
Insane.
So while I was still a student, I felt like that was kind of acceptable, maybe a little bit off-putting to some, but overall acceptable. You know, maybe like attractive. But after finishing and graduating my PhD, I do find I get a lot more like self-deprecating comments from people. Yeah, it's a lot more of an awkward situation to navigate overall. I also research a field that's very tangible and easy to understand. So I, of course, have men mansplain that to me. And when I often correct them, because I kind of have to, then I can like tell that they get very like turned off and almost angry sometimes.
It's kind of interesting as well that other people in her life, not even romantic partners, were kind of putting her down for the PhD as well. So I'm like, you know, bigger picture of this, like maybe we are just as humans, like tall poppy syndrome, all of us.
I was about to say, surely there's an Australian aspect to this, right? Like just cannot feel comfortable with other people's success. I just think when I hear that someone's doing a PhD or they have doctor in front of their name, I'm like, how fucking cool?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that is just insanely, like, it should be celebrated. I just think it's like one of the sickest things that you could do. Because I'm just like, I think about how much years of dedication and I think how much you're actually contributing to, you know, just society and like learning and researching stuff that like needs to be researched.
And helping people like us make a show.
Oh, thank
you. Like how often we're doing like peer reviewed and PhD, like, you know, research. It's thank you.
Yeah.
For your service.
Tess sent us a DM saying, I was dating this guy for a couple of years. I worked my ass off and got an ATAR of 96. My boyfriend floated through high school and got an ATAR in the mid 60s. If you're overseas, by the way, this is kind of like the score you get at the end of year 12 when you do all your exams.
Final bit of high school.
Yeah, 96 is really high. When results came out, he couldn't congratulate or celebrate me.
Ugh.
even though he was aware that he didn't put in the work. He was so upset that his mum even took me aside and asked me not to mention my ATAR to his grandma and other extended family, as it makes him feel inferior.
That's fucked.
I was treated as though my results were something bad I did to embarrass him, not something great I did for myself. Needless to say, this mentality was carried on in the relationship. He couldn't celebrate my wins, my job, my uni results ever because I always seemed to point out his flaws.
I hate that the mum got involved.
Hate that so much.
That's so bad. Holly here saying, a man told me he doesn't date women who earn more than him, and he said, I definitely don't date younger women who are more educated than me either. Mind you, I'm a 2-year uni student about to be a law graduate who saved up and just bought a house. That's giving incel.
That is,
right there.
Yeah. Also, imagine saying that out loud.
Yeah, I know. Also, that stat that you talked about when it's like you tend to date within your number, if you say you're a 6 or whatever. Yeah. I was thinking about incels and being like, I feel like the guys are always like a 5 or a 6 and they're trying to date like a 10.
Well, they're angry that they're not getting 10s.
Yeah, exactly.
Francesca said, anytime I say I have a degree, guys are less interested. But if I say I'm a yoga teacher, they love it.
Oh, my God.
And yes, like we were saying before, that Dr. Caroline story that we did years ago where she's an aerospace engineer, I reached out to her in the DMs because I was like, babe, give us an update.
Oh.
Like what is this? Because we did this story really? 4 years ago, Pip. I was like in the DMs, I was like, what's the latest? How are you going? Are people still intimidated by aerospace engineer? And this is what she said.
Since we last spoke, I've turned 30 years old. I got my PhD in aerodynamics and have now attained a pretty senior position in a large engineering company. I work my butt off and I also get lots of time to see my friends and have a good time. I've recently gone through the process of purchasing my second property in Sydney with a friend, but I'm also nearly 7 years single and that's kind of sad now. I really want to meet my person. I really want to have babies, but they don't really seem to be interested in a woman like me who has pursued an academic career, I guess, in higher education. I'm still trying my best though. I'm dating as much as I can, sending the good vibes, but it's rough being a single woman with a doctorate and properties who can look after herself, which sucks. Because I thought if you worked hard on yourself, you would meet your man, but obviously not.
So yeah, now she's been single 7 years. Nothing's gotten better.
I'm so depressed by that.
But she bought a house with the best friend.
Okay, that is slay though. Shout out, Caroline. All right, so we've talked about lifestyle. We've talked about education. Let's talk about career. Lots of you got in touch and said this is something that partners have been intimidated by. And Hannah sent us this.
When I was at a party in my late 20s, I was chatting to a guy and having like a really nice conversation. And then he asked me what I did for work. When I told him I was a doctor, it just shut the conversation down straight away. I could just see it in his face. He didn't really know what to say. Now in my 30s on the dating apps, I do have that I'm a doctor in my profile. And I have noticed that once they ask me what area I specialize in and I tell them I do obstetrics and gynecology, that has also been a little bit of a shutdown on conversations.
That is wild. There's just so many people who've related to that too.
There's just so much great conversation. I just think there's so much great conversation that could be had with someone who's a doctor. Like, that's so interesting. There's so much to unpack. If someone across from me said that, I'd be so fascinated.
And
I'd love to know more, especially after watching, what's it called?
The Pit.
The Pit. Oh,
I love that show.
I know. I just could have endless questions about doctors and surgeons and people who work in medical fields. Also because you're literal heroes. But just so fascinating.
Like, is this a, like, what are we doing? Like, why are we, you know what I mean? It's giving sexes.
I know. Oh, 100%. I mean, so much of this is. We also got this voice memo from Sarah as well, talking about how she's been on dating apps and then people see her profile on Instagram and see that she's wildly successful in her career and basically ghost her.
So I am a CEO of a charity and I would say every 4 out of 5 guys that I match with, we're having a really good conversation and I want to move that off the dating apps. I'll give them my Instagram handle, which shows all of my work and does show a lot of my success. I either have them completely remove me, or I won't hear from them, or on a few occasions I've actually had them flat out say that they are intimidated. And every time that's happened, we've maybe messaged once or twice more and then I'll never hear from them. They'll never commit to a date. Like, they'll completely just never message me again.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had some people also say they've started changing things on their profiles to get more matches, like Jessie on the apps. I get more matches if I say I'm a consultant consultant rather than my actual job as a lawyer. Vera, on the other hand, said, I'm in a woman-loving woman relationship, but I'm intimidated in a good, hot way by a woman who's extremely intelligent and is a NASA research scientist. Incredible conversations, but I don't feel like I can contribute to the conversations in the same way, although she is very humble and kind. Yeah, again, that kind of, I guess, like lifestyle difference where you're like, do I even match you in intelligence or success, quote unquote? It can be really tricky.
It's kind of like what I was saying before. Like, I just think come from a place of curiosity. Like, it's so fascinating. People love talking about themselves.
Yeah.
If someone sat across me and was like, tell me all about your job and was so, like, fascinated by it and the ins and outs, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care what they did for a career.
Also, it seems like her partners, she said, they're very humble and kind. It's like they're not, like, a dick about it.
Yeah.
They're probably, like, excited to tell you about their day at work.
Which shows us, again, like, it is sometimes just so internalized about how we feel around ourselves and our inadequacy or just feeling not up to the level that they're at in our heads that we've kind of put them on. Okay, we need to also talk about money. Like we said, success is so widely different for everyone and we define it so differently, but, you know, a lot of people do get really weird about money, and it is one of those things, I guess, in our capitalist society that we do deem as successful, right? Like if you have a lot of it or you've worked really hard and worked your way up and now earn heaps. Katie saying, I had a man break up with me after he found out how much more money I earned than him.
And also, like we heard from Holly before, when we were talking about education, she also had that guy who said he definitely doesn't date people who earn more money than him, which is crazy. Like I said, in my experience, I'm literally like, people will be benefiting off me being the breadwinner. They love it.
Well, that basically ties to owning and buying property, right? If you have a lot of money, you're quite wealthy, like you have access to more property. And this was why we wanted to do this episode, because of that Guardian article, right, that basically explored how women who own homes are sometimes finding it harder to date men. And a lot of this intimidation is due to really being tied to some of those traditional gender expectations that we've been hearing a little bit about already. When we put it up on our stories and we were like, hey guys, if you own property, what has been your experience with how people have received that in your love lives? We were flooded with so many DMs and so many voice memos. Sarah saying, single female, owned my home for 8 years. Lots of men were put off by that. They always used to ask me who helped me.
Bella saying, I'm 30 and this is something I've experienced for years. It's all fun and games until they find out that I have a second investment property. They tend to act normal when they hear I own my own home, but things go awfully awry when the second property is brought up. Then they usually try and tell me all about their financial goals and plans, like it's a deflection of their discomfort of my success. I'm still single, lol.
Max saying, I was dumped by a guy because I had a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment and a new car. He had been laid off and was struggling to find a job. Another guy dumped me because he felt like we were at different chapters in our lives. I was ready to buy a house and he was still eating top ramen.
We also got this voice memo from Trudy talking about how she bought a house and then subsequently broke up with their partner.
I've always tended to date older because I am fairly successful and ahead for my age. In a particular scenario that happened that really stands out for me was when I was 23 and dating a 43-year-old man. We don't talk about it. But I was closing on my apartment, getting the keys, and we had been dating the whole time leading up to it. And I think he kind of thought that it was a pipe dream. And then he was standing in the apartment that I had just bought, him a non-property owner, and the relationship kind of crumbled immediately after that. And we had been dating for well over a year and he was nowhere near that level of success for property or for how much he had in his super and stuff like that.
Okay, that really reminds me of that Love is Blind episode that came out this year, where Jessica and this guy called Chris were like together. He proposed, he was so obsessed with her, he was like promising her the world, was like, they were like front runner couple, right? They then, after the pods, also spoiler alert if you haven't watched this since, but it came out at the start of the year, so what are you doing? they came out of the pods. She took him to her house, and she's a doctor, massive, massive house, really successful, has her life fully together. Like, she's just amazing. And he completely switched. And he basically tried to tear her down by being like, I've decided that there's no sexual chemistry and I'm not attracted to you because you don't do Pilates.
Yeah. And it's something that I think a lot of you resonated with in terms of that dynamic switching, even like into long-term relationships. Obviously, theirs was short because it was a TV show. But
they were engaged.
You know, they were engaged. And a lot of people, you know, got into our DMs and told us about that, like that dynamic really shifting. This is something that Sienna went through when she moved interstate.
So me and my partner at the time moved to Tasmania, and he wanted to pursue outdoor adventures and, I don't know, get on the Jack Kerouac adventure bandwagon. And I kind of moved with him and then got a really good job, made really good friends, and then started saving for a house, which I eventually bought. And he kind of rode the coattails of my success. And when we broke up, he realized that he didn't have any friends or anything like that because I had done it all. And I think that's ultimately why we broke up. He was just like quite intimidated by how successful I had become on the guise of like a spontaneous interstate move.
This reminded me of something that was in the Guardian article, Pip, where they said, despite earning less than men on average, NAR's 2025 data show that single women report a greater willingness to make financial sacrifices to prioritize their home buying goals. 41% reported spending less on entertainment, vacations, clothing, and non-essential goods compared with 31% of single men. So, like, even with her experience there, Sienna, like, despite the move being for him, she, like, locked in, she made friends, she built, like, a life, she saved money, she bought a house. And then at the end of the day, he was like, oh, God, the dynamic shifted, and he realized that she was, like, really settled, independent, successful, and couldn't handle it.
I know this is like not fully relevant, but this also kind of reminded me of when people open up their relationships in a hetero dynamic and then the woman is literally like, well, this is going to be working out great for me. And then guys have this like big idea in their head that it's going to be amazing, and then they're like not hooking up with anybody.
Can't find anyone.
I know that's not the same thing, but it's kind of a similar vibe where it's like you have these big goals and these big dreams, and I don't know what it is, but like there's something that's holding them back, or they don't lock in and like make it a reality.
And then punish you for it after, right? It's just like, anyway, Lady also sent us a DM saying, I'm 34 and been with my partner for 12 years. I started out earning him 4-ish years ago and it totally changed the dynamic. I wish I could fall into my softer feminine side, and yet I find myself pushing more in a masculine way. That's an interesting take as well. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know if we need to associate like doing really well with masculine. I think that's like a slippery slope falling into gender tropes.
Yeah.
And why so much of this dynamic shifting has actually impacted relationships, because in heterosexual relationships, because people are so obsessed with this idea of like, but that's the role of a man. So yeah. I'm like, let's strip away the feminine masculine. Yeah. Like, it's just you doing well in life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
literally.
Why do we need to gender it or like feminize or masculinize it?
Yeah, because I feel like it like kind of further divides people in that way. And I think like that's just obviously furthering this kind of divide. And yeah, putting that kind of strict gender role on things is not really that helpful.
We also got this voice memo from Amber, who basically told us that her partner was so intimidated, he basically tried to stop her doing well.
Essentially, he would be really wonderful and lovely, and then in little ways try and like stop me succeeding. Like I remember this one time kind of like being really excited about this project that I was doing, and it's like my purpose and like a passion project. So it's something I still work on now, and I was so excited to kind of bring it over to his place and work on my laptop while he was doing his thing. And essentially he got so mad at me for bringing my laptop over, like, how dare you work on something when you could be here spending time with me. And essentially that project, like while I was with him, started to dwindle and die because I wasn't really allowed to like ever work on it. And yeah, I guess in a way he was intimidated by my success. Like I was moving forward and trying to do so many different things in my life, and I just feel like I was getting pulled backwards like constantly, or whenever anything was going really well, it like wasn't okay with him, and just things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because she also told us in the DMs that, you know, she would even go and set boundaries with him to try and make sure that this passion project was something that she was getting time for. Like, for example, she was like, oh, I would stay at home one night and be like, hey, just so you know, if I don't respond to you for a while, I'm working on my passion project. I won't be on my phone. I'll chat to you in a couple of hours. And then he would be like blowing up her phone, being like, where are you? I miss you. Like, come over. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just constantly like asking it and like trying to do a bid for attention at that point. And she was like, well, I just told you, like, I'm working on this thing.
Yeah, and I think that's such a perfect example, Pip, of, like, she was very clearly communicated. Like, she's not gone MIA. She's not, like, you know, all of a sudden just, like, pushing him away. She's, like, very clearly communicated. It's one night, and yet he's, like, really pushed past her boundaries in a really unhealthy way. You know what's really fascinating was there was, like, a really strong theme of people saying, oh, I love passionate women, or I love successful women, I find that really hot, or I love people who are doing really well. But then I feel like there's this disconnect of when you're actually in the relationship and the person is doing really well. And we got a DM of someone saying that they were basically like, I find that men are attracted to the idea of my success, but then the reality of it puts them off. So we shared this response on our stories and we said, can you relate to this as a woman dating men? And 88% of you said yes. You have realized that men are attracted to the idea of your success, but then in the actual day-to-day reality of it, where it's like, I don't know, like
Sienna.
Amber or Sienna doing their projects, or but buying the house and building their life in Tasmania, it's like the reality actually isn't what the guy wants.
Yeah, which is so fascinating. And we thought, you know, we'd love to get some voice memos from men who are reading all these responses that we put on our Instagram and go like, what do you guys think? Like, what are your takes? We actually get quite a few, so we're going to play some of them now. Luke told us that compared to his ambitious wife, he feels like he needs a bit more direction. Otherwise, he feels a little bit lost or even sometimes jealous.
My wife, who's often better at finding opportunities out in the world just for her hobbies and interests and whatnot, better at finding opportunities that I am, therefore, from my point of view at least, she appears more successful, I think. I've always been a follower, always struggled with finding direction. It may come from overthinking things, to be honest. As a kid, I'd always copy my older brother, and you could say pretty much, I guess, grew up under his wing, so to speak. I was sort of in his shadow a bit. He was very independent. So it probably stems from that. Look, but on the flip side, seeing my wife find opportunities, it spurs me on and gives me ideas and motivation to look down avenues in my own path that I previously hadn't thought of.
I think it's kind of cool that he went introspective on it and was like, why do I feel like this? And he was like, oh, I was the little brother who needed like some help from my older bro.
I loved hearing that, Luke, because I was like, you've fucking done the work. You've done the work, mate. You're unpacking this. And that's all we ask. It's like, genuinely, it's okay to feel intimidated. It's okay to feel jealous. Like, every time you have these, like, I get them all the time. It's like you get them sometimes when someone's doing really well or they got something that you really wanted and you get this pang of like, oh, and like insecurity and jealousy. But for me, it's a self-reflection tool of being like, okay, why do I feel this way? And most of the time, it's generally because you want that thing.
Exactly. It's very much a human condition. And I think what Luke was saying, and especially because he went in and was like, why am I like this? And went back to the family dynamic. I was like, you don't sound like the kind of person that blanket is like, if a woman is more successful than me, then I'm going to be either feeling a little bit jealous or feeling like lesser than or whatever it is. And on the flip side of that, you know, we actually did have Nath who came through and was like, I think this is kind of why guys sometimes do this blanket thing on women and why they are struggling with success with a female partner. And this is what he had to say in a voice memo.
After a man has gone through like their first heartbreak, they're sort of like taught to go through like a self-love like sort of journey and like better themselves and like, you know, build goals and that sort of mentality. So they, you know, they build themselves into a particular sort of idea of like, oh, I need to have money, I need to have value, I need to have, you know, I need to be fit, or that kind of mentality or whatever it is. And I think when they come across like someone like a partner who's like more successful than them, then they're like, oh, well, then what do I have to offer that person if they're doing better off than me? And I think that can intimidate them a little bit. But I don't think all people think this way, but I do think like that sort of insecurities is pretty common in men these days.
Yeah, definitely. And it doesn't help that when you are, and we've done episodes about the manosphere, but when you are logging online, that like research shows within 20 minutes for guys, you're being fed like misogynistic content. We know that a lot of that content is around traditional quote unquote roles, right? They're like perpetuating this idea that men are providers. They're meant to be the breadwinner. They're meant to have all this money. They're meant to be successful. They've got these like manosphere influences telling them that that's what you should do to be a quote unquote man. And so it can feel really conflicting, and you can understand why you would feel like inadequate in a relationship where your partner is the person who's doing all of those things that the world is telling you you should be doing to be considered a quote unquote great guy.
No, I feel like it's not just like those extreme levels. Like it's just years and years of patriarchy, and we're at this really weird time in like in the world right now where it's like women are out earning men. Women have higher levels of education. We're finishing school. We are, quote unquote, more successful. And that's, I guess, like, yeah, as we've unpacked in so many of our, you know, manosphere and masculinity kind of episodes, it's just guys are just like, oh, I don't really know where what I'm meant to do now.
Yeah,
because I got told that I was meant to be this thing. And like, what's the point if I can't do that?
And on the other side of that, we got this voicemail from Liam saying, you know, it works both ways. Like girls write guys off sometimes when they maybe aren't in those traditional roles, and they have this expectation that guys should be earning more money. And this was his experience.
I just remember this one Hinge date I had where this girl, she was a smidge older than me and she really had all her ducks in a row. And when she asked me about my work, I was entry level and still finding my feet. And when that became apparent, she was like kind of the light left her eyes and she was just kind of disappointed, and you can just tell when someone's writing you off like that. So I'm not convinced that women don't give a shit about this.
I think it's interesting what Liam's saying, because it's right. Like there are definitely women out there who I see it online as well, who are like, men are trash, just go for guys who make heaps of money. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, it does work both ways, where there is still this pressure put on guys from women who are dating men to be like, why aren't you earning more than me? Or like, this is the role that you should be in, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But really interestingly, if we go back to that research around, you know, people do genuinely partner with others who are from similar education, class, backgrounds, values, religion, lifestyles, attractiveness, that kind of thing. This same research also found that educational assortive mating changes with women's increasing tendency to marry men with less education than themselves. So this is from 2024. So a paper found that actually that is starting to shift as women are having higher levels of education. They actually are dating guys who aren't as educated. But that's obviously right. Not about money. That's about education.
So they weren't dating people who were the same. They were like, I'm okay with dating people who have technically less education than me.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's like research-based like backing that, you know, previously you would tend to date someone who was around the same education background as you or class or whatever. But now it's saying that women are actually, that's shifting, and they're tending to date guys who are less educated than them.
Yeah. This whole thing is so frustrating because I can see it from everyone's side. Mm. Like I get Liam, but I also get there's that pressure from like, yeah, manosphere stuff and like social media being like, girls only want this, that like we know as well from other research that like girls only want people who are nice to them and who treat them well and like give them like love and a good life in that sense. So it's so frustrating to hear all this.
Yeah. And we got this DM from Tabitha who said, straight men haven't figured out that being wanted is better than being needed. And there was actually a viral article from Impact about that recently. But it talks about the fact that this is the core problem at the moment when we think about this heterosexual divide. Men in particular as a whole, this is like just a real blanket statement, but this is like an analysis of the situation, cannot handle not being needed. They have been told in relationships and dating, the role that they're supposed to play is around being financially needed, you know, security, safety, blah, blah, blah. And now we're in a position where guys technically aren't needed, right? Women are making their own money. Women are buying their own houses. Women are, you know, carving their own lives out. And I think that, yeah, now we're in a position where I think some guys can feel really confused about what that means for their role in relationships.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like men, like you are needed. You're needed for so many things. Emotional safety, companionship, intellectual partnerships, you know, shared values, growing together, sexual desires even as well. So, yeah, we'll link this article as well in our show notes and all of this stuff in there if you want to take another look. But, yeah, we had a DM from D'Amicus as well saying, too much emotional awareness for men who say, I wish I could be like that. You can also be emotionally aware, dude. Just go to therapy.
We do want to shout out some examples, though, of when it has really worked, though. We, in this episode, Pip and I just wanted to unpack a lot of your experiences of when it hasn't, some of the reasons why, some of the ways that you might have been considered more successful and when that's intimidated or, you know, made people jealous or whatever. We had a lot of DMs of people being like you, Pip, who had some really great experiences. And we got this voice memo from Amy.
I have sort of been more conventionally successful compared to him. Like, he's been a student the entire time and I've been working. I've sort of gotten to a position where I'm a pretty senior person in my company and I've sort of made more money and I own my own home. And I feel like the entire time I have never felt like he was intimidated by my success. And it's been so refreshing to see and it makes me feel so loved. And I know that it's the bare minimum, but I feel like there's so many people out there who make women feel like shit for being super successful that, you know, for me, I feel so lucky to have a partner like him. He always makes jokes about being my tenant and being a stay-at-home husband and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, even though they're jokes, they just make me feel good and not ashamed to be successful and actually be proud of myself.
Yeah, look, we got a DM from Matt as well saying, honestly, the dream is to have a partner who makes more money than me. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've heard that so many times where guys are like, I'd love to be the stay-at-home dad.
Oh, yeah.
Kayden, the needle really has moved.
Kayden says, I could not care less. I raised my siblings, so these days I want very little responsibility. If my partner made more money, I would happily run the household and be a stay-at-home dad.
Angus as well said, absolutely not. I have about 1K in the bank and my partner has well over a million.
Sorry, what?
Whoa. Okay.
That's so wild.
Courtney saying, please be upfront about your success. Low response means you've weeded out the shit men.
And Katie as well saying, when I was single, I removed my education and career from my profile and then I re-added it because I decided I didn't want a limp dick loser who was intimidated by my success. I also own my own home and travel extensively. Now I'm happily married to a man who only ever encourages and supports me to chase my dreams. He is a king. So yeah, if you are feeling remotely disheartened by this episode at all and some of the things that we've just been talking about, please don't, because there are obviously incredible partnerships that are happening. There are incredible people out there who are really supportive of when, you know, someone else is doing an incredible job in their life, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Thank you so much to everyone who contributed to this ep. Sorry about the mask. Sorry about the sickness.
Sorry.
These social clips are going to be really weird. Anyway, we'll see you in the DMs.
Okay, bye.